day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my trial, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality, something keeps holding me. Let's sing it now. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome all my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality. Jesus is holding me. Oh, say it now, church. Yes, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome to overcome all my trials,
guiding me constantly.
Oh, play the song.
Giving me victory.
Well, it's a reality. Jesus is holding me.
Guiding me constantly.
Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church on a wonderful, beautiful Saturday evening. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit of that, brethren, if you will. Let's sing some more of it tonight. Don't be scared. Praise the Lord. A verse of it.
Trials of this world were getting closer.
Turn this monitor up.
The pull I felt was more than I could bear.
Oh, that's right.
And I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. redemption of His desire to steal away my faith.
My faith. Say it, buddy.
Strength I need to keep me.
Hallelujah.
His grace.
Because something is holding me. Every day I see.
Every day I see.
Helping me faithfully
to overcome
my
trials. Guiding me constantly.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, want to remember these needs tonight. A pastor, Chinapelli, I hope I got that name right, from India, who was in an accident, hurt his left hand very badly. He also asked for our prayers for his assembly. So we certainly want to remember those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Gwen Farmer sends us in to please pray for Sonia Farmer, who was bitten by a deer tick in November 2011 and developed Lyme disease. She's on antibiotics but still has high fevers and hurts all over her body. So we certainly want to pray for that need. We want to pray for Ben and Landon Davis. Both are sick tonight, unable to be in the service. So let's remember those needs tonight. The brethren are laboring with the sound system. They will get it right here just in a few minutes, I'm sure. Just be patient. We'll get through this. We'll remember Sister Dana Ayers, who is having low blood problems. Also, Brother Gary Ayers wanted to thank the church for praying for him. He got a good report concerning his heart. He also wanted to thank those who sent cards during the passing of his father. So we certainly want to remember those folks tonight in prayer. Brother Mike Johnson sends this in. As we know, a young family in Alabama whose two-year-old son has been diagnosed with a developmental disorder that may limit his ability to talk. Please remember this need in your prayer. So we certainly want to remember those needs tonight. I want to pray for Gene Averick, who will be having surgery on Wednesday for an aneurysm in her brain. So let's pray for that need tonight, that the Lord will be mindful of her. Sister Martha Ann Johnson sends this in. My mother can only see shadows in her vision. She asked me to please have you to pray for a healing touch for her eyesight. So we will remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Eugene and Sister Janet Kennedy want to thank the Lord for their son Andrew. He got a good report. Will not have to have surgery for his torn ACL. So they want to thank the Lord for that tonight. Sister Shirley Robbins has vertigo. Let's pray for her tonight. Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord for healing his hand. Got a splinter in his hand and it got infected, and he wants to thank the Lord for touching him. I want to pray for Joy Holmquist, who is homesick with bronchitis and an ear infection. So let's remember that need tonight. Thank you, brother. I didn't know if you was playing or if I went crazy. And I take me going crazy over you playing. So let's look at this last need tonight. I want to pray for our Joan Odell sends this in to please have prayer for my son-in-law, my daughter and my son-in-law. My daughter needs a uplift of spirit and needs more of the truth in her heart. And my son-in-law needs the Lord in his life. So we want to remember those needs tonight. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? Now, do you believe that we're serving a God that can answer these requests tonight? Let's sing that little chorus together one more time just before we pray tonight. Something keeps holding me. Aren't you glad that something, and you know what that something is? It's the Lord Jesus that's holding us. Praise the Lord. Oh, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials.
Guiding me constantly, giving me victory.
Well, it's a reality. Jesus is holy. Say praise the Lord. Brother David Swanson, would you come tonight, pray over these knees. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. I believe we're going to have a good time here tonight, don't you? Amen, Brother David. God bless you. Love you, buddy.
Precious Lord Jesus, we're again thankful, Lord, together, Lord. So thankful that down in our hearts is the quickening power, Lord. It's the thing that's holding us. It's keeping us in this dark Satan's Eden that we live in, keeps pulling and tugging and drawing us closer to you, Lord. And that's why we're here, just to get a little bit closer to you. You have something for us in this service, Lord, and we just pray that we just get everything out of the way that would be a hindrance and be able to receive, Lord. We pray for these prayer requests, Lord. Each one's special. Each one's needy. Lord, we just pray that we'd bind our faith together and believe for our brothers and sisters that each one of these requests would be met according to your will, Lord. May you just energize our faith, Lord, I pray. Just reach down and touch each need. And Lord, there isn't one of us that isn't needy. We can't categorize needs, Lord. We're all needy. The most desperate thing we're need of, Lord, is more of a revelation. More of, we know we need to be like Enoch, who had a walk, Lord. He had a walk of faith. And faith is something that is revealed to us. Keep revealing yourself to us, Lord, I pray. Let nothing be a hindrance to that. May we just keep on humbly and serving you with all our hearts. And may you bless us, be with us in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. If you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You're visiting tonight with us in this service. We certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the services, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let you be seated tonight just for a little while. Brother Tim Burdett, Brother Tony Burdett, and quite a few other folks are here with us in the service tonight. We're going to sing a little chorus, and we're going to be getting out of the way. We'll cut our song service just a little bit short tonight, give them plenty of time, because as soon as they pulled in the parking lot, I started having requests for them to sing. And Brother Tim said, well, we just wanted to sneak in. And I said, well, I never did know of daylight sneaking up on a rooster, so you can't just sneak in here. So we're going to just use them tonight, and I believe you'll be blessed by their ministry tonight. Let's sing this little chorus together. I feel the pull, just before we get out of the way tonight. I feel the pull.
I feel the pull. Oh, I hear the call. And I know Spirit's moving me to give my all.
Speaks to me.
Hallelujah.
And I agree.
Lord, please come and take
I feel the
stand together, if you would. We'll ask Brother Tim to come. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to sing or what they've got, but God lined out for us tonight. We certainly appreciate him coming and being with us on this little visit that they just kind of sneaked in, and we appreciate him sneaking in, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. So we just want to open our hearts tonight. I thought it just wouldn't hardly be fair. Every time he comes, I'm gone. So I thought, you know what? I think this time I'm going to get to hear a good preacher. Amen. So we want our brothers just come and sing and just bless us with their singing and in the ministry of the word. And we certainly appreciate them coming, don't we?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was coming to hear a good preacher. Two services. And so I apologize. And you can't sneak in on y'all people. Y'all got spies everywhere. But it is good to be here. Good to see all of you again. You can be seated for a moment of time. Brother Tony, where are you at? Brother Justin. We'll try to sing you a couple of songs. We won't hold you long and sing, but maybe one or two songs. And but it sure is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I don't know another place I'd rather be. Amen, amen. He's good to us, ain't he, friends? He is definitely good to us. I called Brother Jim Bow about a week ago because I come up here one Memorial Day weekend and I couldn't even get a room. It was so packed. I guess they was having something in Johnson City around the parks. And I couldn't even get a room. And I said, I'm not going to do that again, so I'll call Brother Jim and see if anything's going on. So I'll get a room where I normally stay. And he called Brother Donnie. So next time I just have to not call nobody. And Louie called me today. I said, well, I'll just sneak in, sit on the back after the song service started. He said, well, you'll sing after service. So, but it's nice to know God's people. Amen. Amen. But he's good to us, ain't he?
Before Jesus. And the very last thing they try is the very first thing they need. But we'll go through our life trying everything. And then we'll try Him. Don't make sense, does it? But I say, as long as you come to Him, get to Him. Any way you can, get to Him. And it wasn't that we took Him, He took us anyway. But I'm glad He put something in me that I would take Him back. I'm glad there was something in me that I say, yeah, Lord, that I would take Him back. Can you say amen? Oh, God's good to us, ain't He, children? Oh, He's so wonderful to us. Let me sing you this song here, if you don't mind. Let's try see, Jesse. I don't know the name of it. I stood on the bank. Stood on the banks of a wide and raging river, trusting I'd get across. I've made my way through valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. I stood at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. Knowing through every trial, each test and temptation, there's one thing sure every time. Over faithful over and over again and again through it all. He makes me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looks like I couldn't win. For Jesus is with me, again. You ask me why I have whole hesitation. God does what He said He would do. I'd simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing He can't help me through. I should listen, I dwell on the hardships and the struggles. When I look just beyond them, I can see that the way this will end is with great celebration. And deep in my heart, I believe over and over again. I've got no hesitation. God does what He said He will do. I'd simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing He won't help me through. So why should we dwell on the hardships and the struggles? When I look just beyond them, I can see that the way this will end is with a great celebration. Deep in my heart, I believe. Well, listen closely. Well, I've got no hesitation. God's word says He'll do what He said He would do. Oh, I love that. Well, I'd simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing He can't help me through. That makes me want to shout. So why should we dwell on the hardships and all the struggles? When if I look just beyond them, church, I can see that the way this will end is with a huge, great celebration. And Deep in my heart I believe. How many can believe like that? Just sing this with me. Over and over again and again, God. Revelation. But he's constantly letting us know he's there. Constantly reminding me. Glory to God. Tony, sang that song for him before I preach. The new one he sang by himself. Oh, ain't he wonderful, friends? Ain't he good to us? If there ever was a time. Yeah, you sang, I would sing. But you ain't got to play drums.
That's right.
Oh, listen to this song. This is so powerful. And Tony does a great job. A great job. You guys aren't you glad over and over again that he lets you know this every day?
It is going to be a celebration. Skipper using this thing, so y'all have to excuse me. I've only done this song one time, but the words of it's beautiful, and you might know it. It's just, don't listen to the singer, just listen to the words, because that's what it's about anyway. It's going to be wonderful when we get over there. And I was listening to those prayer requests go forward. And I don't know how many knows my testimony or heard me give a little bit of it. But if you knew my testimony, you know that God's still real. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Because when it happens to you personally, ain't nobody can take that away. I don't care what it is. Ain't nobody can take that away. When, if you just, the lowest of the low, just grace is like that. I know because I've been there. So that's. So maybe this song right here, you'll get a blessing off of it. If I don't remember the words, just y'all just keep right on going. No excuses now. But it is a little. God, we enjoy being here. We did want to sneak in, but it didn't work.
If there ever was a time I needed you before, Lord, I need you now. And if there ever was a trial I couldn't handle on my own, that's how this feels somehow. If there ever was a child that was crying out for help, that's what this song's about, all about. If there ever was a time I needed you before, Lord, I need you now. If there ever was a friend who's always kept his word, Lord, I know it's you. 'Cause there's never been a time you left me all alone or been untrue. And if I know anything, it's that you will meet my needs just like you always do. So I'm counting on your love, I'm looking to your grace just to see it. Because I need you to remind me how faithful you have been. 'Cause when I'm at my weakest, Lord, that's where your strength begins. If there ever was a time, Lord, I needed you before, Lord, I need you now. And if there ever was a trial I couldn't handle on my own, that's how this feels somehow. Have you ever been there? And if there ever was a child that was crying out for help, that's what this song is about. If there ever was a time I needed you before, Lord, I need you
now. Amen. Can you say amen to that? There ever was a time, we need him now. Every day, every moment, every hour. When we sleep and we need him. When we up, we need him. When we down, we need him. A lot of times we forget about him when we're on the top, but we need him there. And we only think about him many times when we're down here. That's just human, I understand. But we need him, friends. I want him, don't you? I desire that Spirit of God in my life. How many desires that? With everything that's in you. Let's stand together if we could as we sing this little chorus together. Little Justin, give me G, buddy, if you would. Ain't he wonderful, friends? God's been so good to us. How could we ever repay him? Just live for him. Daddy told someone one time, somebody says, "Oh, I want to do this for you. Can I do this for you?" He said, you really want to do something for me? He said, yeah. He said, just live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I was once lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Sang at church, my God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, hallelujah, His mercy brings unending love. Chains are gone, yes, Lord. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, hallelujah, has ransomed me. Oh, hallelujah, His mercy reigns unending love. Hallelujah, let's sing it one more time. Unending love, amazing grace, Heavenly Father. Oh, what a privilege, Lord, to come into Your presence, to be among precious believers, Lord, of such like faith, Lord, that will come and gather together, Lord, and when each one could go anywhere they wanted to go on a Saturday. The world's out having their Memorial Day weekend. Lord, and it's a great weekend as far as the wars and the soldiers just went on. Lord, and been killed down through the wars. Oh, we thank You for each one, Lord, no doubt. And Lord, they celebrate this weekend for all these great soldiers, and maybe, no doubt, there's probably some here that's in the Army, Navy, or Marines or something now, or maybe some here way back in them great battles back yonder. And we do, Lord, thank You and celebrate, Lord, what they fought for. Lord, tonight as we gather together in this place, we come in celebration and thank You, Lord, for a greater Memorial Day. Not for those that's lost their lives, but Lord, for that life of Jesus Christ. That Lord, 2,000 years ago, You died and went on a cross. Lord, that every single one of us could be free tonight. Many, Lord, that's no doubt not here could be free, Lord. Just receive You, Lord. Around the world, across the seas, Lord. May the Holy Spirit find that last one, Lord, and bring them in. I hear Your prophets scream out, when that last one comes in, God will take that bride home. Could it be tonight? Could it be in this service? Could it be in another service? Could it be in the morning? But Lord, we're sure of one thing. That word was spoke, and we believe it. We believe it tonight. Bless Your people tonight, Lord, as they're here. I pray that You'd give them strength, Lord, and courage. I pray, God, that You would speak somehow, some way through this little insignificant person here that's standing here, Lord. Oh, God, if we've sinned today, forgive us, Lord. Hold nothing against us as Your word comes forth. But speak to every children tonight. every child, every son and daughter of God, Lord. May you grant it, Lord. Help us to get out of the way. Bless your people, Lord, your precious saints, your precious children here. God, each one, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord, with these precious saints of God. Brother Donnie and each one that's here, Lord, thank you for it, Lord. We love you and we appreciate you, Lord. As we read your word, may you make it real to us. As we open that word, Lord, may it be real to us. May we leave tonight saying, my heart burns down inside as he spoke to me. Not me, but you, Lord. Not me, Lord, but you speak, Lord. You open your mouth tonight. You speak to these people, Lord, not me. Grant it, Lord. They've come for a reason. They've come for a purpose. They've come to receive something that I can't give them, but there's a God here that can give it to them. And we, Lord, are expecting it, Lord. Brother Brown said, come expecting. Said, when you come, come expecting. And here we are tonight, God. In thy blessed, precious, holy name, Lord. Every request that's been spoken, every sick, Lord, every one, God, that's been spoken of tonight, God, may you heal, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the bride can say,
amen.
Oh, give the Lord a clap of praise tonight.
God. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Genesis, if you would? Thank you, Brother Louis. Oh, the Lord's so good to us, ain't he? God knows my heart, friends. I certainly didn't come to speak. I was just taking a few days, a week's vacation, just to get away and be with the family and things of that nature. I wanted to come by and see y'all, and we enjoy every time we are here, no doubt. And I run back. I left the house. I was telling Brother Donnie I left the house, and I always like to take my Bible everywhere I go. And I was rushing to get out, and I run back to the house, and I had some things in it, and I didn't take time to take nothing out. I just grabbed there, and what was in it. So, and then Brother Donnie called, and I said, well, I come to hear you. And He didn't listen to what I said. So, but nevertheless, God knows what we need. God knows what we need. Amen. Genesis 18, verse 9. Very familiar scripture, but I want to speak on faith finding its bedding ground. Faith finding its bedding ground. That's power. Brother Bram said it's got to have a bedding ground before it can do anything. Is that right?
Yes.
Got to have a bedding ground. In Genesis 18, verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And notice when he's coming back to her. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? That means delight. My Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything, boy, I love that scripture. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Glory to God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. Now that right there ought to make us shout. Because he's coming back. He said he's coming to see Sarah. Not only is he coming to see Sarah, he's come to see us. And not only did he come and see us and he didn't leave, he's still here. Amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading as you're seated tonight. Again, God bless you, my friends. Love you and appreciate each one of you. Bible says, in a little scripture. He said, I'd love to. He said, it would pay me every Sunday to drive up here or to have my children even to come up to sit under an atmosphere like this. Because it's always the atmosphere that brings the results. You can lay a seed out there in the ground, no matter how much that seed's germatized. And lay it there. It's got to have an atmosphere to make it live. See, the sun has to come to a certain power. The sun has to come to a certain power. I like that. Before it can bring to a certain atmosphere. An egg has to have an atmosphere or it won't hatch. No matter how fertile it is, it's got to have an atmosphere. Again, he says, education can never bring life. It takes the Spirit of God to bring life. And that life must not come out of just an intellectual revival. See, there's a godly faith and an intellectual faith. Brother Bam speaks of this and talks about this. He says, and that life must not come out of an intellectual revival. It's got to come out of the Bible. A word revival. And that word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when it falls today and quickens, you get the same results as they did in Acts 2. Woo! Hallelujah. Then I say, what's wrong with all these message churches? Hello, somebody. If the prophet says you get the same results, and by the way, this is in 65. So it is after the seals. And Brother Bram said, in seed not ever the shuck, in 65, the second month also, he said he was speaking on this atmosphere and how power it was and God being on the scene. He said, we're certainly glad that all the seals are open. Not one or two or three or four or just five or six and then stop. He said, we're certainly glad that all, he used the word A-L-L, all the seals have been open. Ooh, hallelujah. Then what does that bring me and you from when that angel stood in Revelation 10:1 and put one foot on land and one foot on water and declared that time will be no more? What was he doing? Bringing back an eternity. Time was coming to meet and embrace eternity. Going out of time. And he declared that time would be no more. Bringing down. Notice what I'm saying. He's not there. He's here now. Building and building and building our faith. Say, well, faith is an important thing. Brother Bam said it's going to take more faith in this age than ever before. I just read today where he also said, it's got to come up and it's going to be greater in the next age. He was already preaching in the Laodicean age, so what age was he talking about? In 61, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, he began to preach from the early 60s and moving up into another age, trying to bring the people's faith, the level of faith up. Why? Because Brother Branham knew it was going to take a greater faith in this age, the bright age, in order for us to be raptured out of here, in order for us not to just have an intellectual faith, but to have a faith that will change the very molecules. It'll change the very body itself. We'll speak the very word. The very word we'll utter. And then something will begin to transpire and take place. See what the prophet was trying to do. And if he was trying to do that and declare the message, then there is a people on the earth today that will believe that, that will stand by that, and will have a body change. They will not stop with intellectual faith. They will go farther and farther. And Father, but I'm saying it takes the same power. Power more power. Power, 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 power. Why? It was going to take it, and we are the beneficiaries to receive that. Ooh, hallelujah. And notice he said, and when it falls today, this is in 65 in broken cisterns, friends. And when it falls today, you get the same results as it did in Acts 2. Exactly. So when we see it getting off track, something's wrong. It ain't the word. It ain't the message. Hello, children. It ain't the word. It ain't the message. It's people. It's preachers. Pentecost. I'm not talking about just jumping, screaming, hollering. I'm talking about, as Jude, I think it was Jude said, he said, contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Then it must have been a pretty powerful faith that was delivered to them. Then you and I too are supposed to have the same faith. Brother Dan preached the seals. They're all open. They're already here, friends. It's something that's been delivered to the saints of God to bring me and you up. He says you get the same results as it did in Acts 2 exactly. It always has. It always will. But then we'll find someone to come along and try to revert that a little bit and say, well, you know, we're not living in that day exactly. And you know, it really won't do the exact same result, you know, because we are believing in more revelation today. And you know, we really don't need all of that nonsense. Well, Brother Bram says he gets the same results, then he gets the same results. If he's a prophet, he's a prophet when he said it. He said, because it's, now notice how Brother Bam brings us apart. We're going to get back to Sarah now. He said, because it takes the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God that conditions the atmosphere. So how we come through them doors tonight is how we get something. Hello? How you come through them doors is how you get something. Is that right? See, because every one of you thought Brother Donnie was preaching. Lane said, you preaching tonight? I said, if I can get out of it, I ain't. But see, God knew. Oh my. God knew exactly what needed to be said. He knew exactly who would come through the doors. He knew exactly the atmosphere we needed to build up the faith of the people. He said, because it's the Spirit of God that conditions. Notice, in anything you do, it's got to be conditioned. You just don't take your clothes and throw them in the washing machine. You put conditioner in there. Because if you don't condition it, then they'll come out very stiff and different things like that. Is that right? Now, I don't wash clothes. I don't know how to wash clothes. My wife does all that. I don't mind doing it. I just don't know how. But I do know they come out smelling good. They come out, and you put them in the dryer. She put them in the dryer. Then she puts something in there, throws a rag or something in there or something in there. And then it makes them smell a little bit better. They come out warm and soft and fuzzy. Why? They've been conditioned. But if you take them out of the washing or dryer, if you don't put them in a dryer and just throw them there, it don't matter how much they was conditioned in the dryer, in the washing machine, they'll just get old, musty and stale. That's the way a lot of our churches is got. They might come to church and might sit on a pew, but they're old, stale people. They might have went through the washing machine, they might have had all the conditions put on them, but they just stood there. What we need is some preachers to put us in the dryer. Get us heated up pretty good. We need some good old fashioned preachers that can put us in the dryer. Hey, I need it too, friends. To put me in the heat of God's Word. And let the sun, the S-O-N, shine down on me. And condition me for the right atmosphere. He said it takes the atmosphere. It's got to be conditioned for the atmosphere. It takes the atmosphere now. He said that's the reason you men are always taught, bring your children to church. Well, certainly that's right. And listen to this. I was glad to see my daughter Rebecca come in and sit down right here a few minutes ago. I want her to receive the baptism of the Spirit of God. That's why she's here in this meeting. That's what the purpose of this meeting is for. But it takes the atmosphere. Now, notice, as we get back to Sarah just for a few minutes of time, we find out that it's going to take a time of life, a quickening, a faith, but it's got to be a mature faith. Not the faith that was just in Luther. Not the faith that was just in Wesley. just reading some things the prophet said. He said they had great things. They had great faith. The faith to be healed, they had all that. That was great. But they didn't have the faith to call the rapture. They didn't have the faith to have a body change. It wasn't the season. Not that they would not ever have it if they would live in this age, but it wasn't the season. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 says there's a season. There's a time appointed. There's a time for laughing. There's a time for crying. There's a time for weddings. There's a time for funerals. There's a time for life. There's a time for death. There's a time for this. There's a time for shouting. There's a time for dancing. There's a time for all of this. And it's seasons. So it wasn't the right season under Luther. It wasn't the right season under Wesley. But we, Brother Brown said, but we. He said, we are in the season. He said, we are in the season. And Brother Brown brings us up. He said, Luther had all of this, had the rabbits, had this. He said, but we have a seven course. Why, God could not leave nothing out when it come to the bride age. Why, the bride had to have the faith she needed, not an intellectual faith. Listen, the first and second pull, well, it's a great thing. I'm not saying do away with it. You'll never hear me say that. But that isn't all of it. The first and second pull is great. I think we need that. That's good. But when you stop with that, because that produces an intellectual faith. But when you move into that third realm, it produces something that the first and second couldn't do. Even though the first is God, the second is God, the third is God. But see, it must come to the appointed season that we could be able to accept. God knew who would and who wouldn't accept this message. So under Luther and Wesley, they couldn't accept it. See, God knows every person what they need. He knows every appointment. Is that right? Remember I said he knew there was a certain message that God wanted him to preach. He said he kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. He said because God wanted certain people there. He said, and then the Lord told him to preach a certain message. And he preached it, and the people that it was going to be for never showed up. But Ram said, they missed their appointment. They passed up their appointment. Oh my. Can you imagine having an appointment with Jehovah? And Jehovah shows up, and I don't. Oh my. Can you imagine God sending us, Brother Amos, an appointment? I'm going to be here such and such and such a night. I'm going to be here this date at this certain time. And Tim don't show up. Oh, God don't let me miss my appointment. You know when you got to go to the doctor, the hospital, whatever it is, or you go to the doctor rather, you'll take and call them and say, listen, I need to come to the doctor. I need a checkup. They give you an appointment. You wouldn't feel too good if you got to your appointment and they wasn't there. Is that right? You would say, well, I ain't never coming back to this doctor again. He don't keep his word. But you'll never hear God say that. Because he always keeps his word. But the Bible said he always keeps his appointment. And here's Sarah. Never had children. Very familiar scripture. This is all right. Very familiar scripture, and I know it's nothing way revelated out yonder we can't understand, but let's just listen to me for a minute. Here's Sarah, never had children, even in her younger 18 years of age and 20s, never could bring forth children. But God begins to tell her, I will visit you. I will come at the right time. I will come according to the time of life. See, he just couldn't show up. He had an appointment. He had an appointment with Sarah. He had an appointment with Abraham. He's got an appointment with all of you. He's got an appointment with me. And God will make his appointment. When I don't make mine, he makes his. Can you say amen?
Can you imagine the people that brother, even brother Branham in his mind, being a prophet of God, God showed him so much. And Billy Paul says, boy, I tell you, I couldn't do nothing without daddy knowing it. Wouldn't that be something? You couldn't do nothing without your daddy knowing it before you ever got a chance to tell him or somebody else told him. Oh my. And brother man, within his mind, what he began to think, God led him a certain way and down a certain journey to preach a certain message and the people not be there that he knows that God showed him. Oh my. God, don't let me miss my appointment with you. Oh, don't let that be one of us tonight, friends. Now, I believe God is here. I believe we're in the last season, the last time, the last. I believe we're here. We're friends, if we keep putting it down yonder the road, we're never going to get there. But if we, look, I'm saying, if you're looking for the rapture, you can't miss it. And notice this. As I said, when you go to the doctor, you have to make an appointment. Is that right? If you go to buy a house, if you go to look at a house in real estate and looking to buy it, you have to set an appointment with the realtors. I will meet you there at 9:55 for you to open the door and I want to walk through. Is that right? So everything we do in life basically has an appointment. that's the way God is. God don't do nothing without an appointment because he knows it already. The problem is where I miss it. Now, it must be in God's season. Is that right? Now, when a woman, we know she begins to come and want to have a baby and go into birth, we realize that there has to be a certain time living, an appointed time for her to become pregnated. That's the best time. The best time for that season. Is that right? Now watch this. I want to look at it in the spiritual just for a moment of time. At a certain time, she knows it's the best time for the fertilization so she can get pregnant. Is that right? Oh God. I think about that spiritual, Brother Donnie, and it just sets me on fire. Now notice this right here. At that point of time, there's millions and millions of eggs. And each one of them is grasping for life. Brother Bam says, I read some of the doctor's things, they're basically crawling over one another. Oh, I wish we could do that going to church. They're basically just crawling over one another. Why? One of them's trying to get to that life. One of them's got an appointment. One of them's got an appointment with the life. Millions of them are missing out. But one of them, sometimes twins, sometimes triplets, quadruplets, fives and sixes and sevens and eights. One is struggling and pushing and pressing. Why? There's more faith in that one, even though in that egg. What is driving it? Something's pushing it. Something's urging it. Something's driving it. Within it, it feels something that there's a life out yonder. And I gotta go get it. So it'll crawl over egg, over hundreds and thousands and maybe millions, Brother Bam said, to that appointment. Wouldn't it be nice if we did that? People ought to be bursting the doors down to get to Happy Valley. If they knew the life that was here, if they knew the power that was here, they would bust the doors down getting to this place to receive the life over thousands and hundreds of people just to get inside there just to hear the word preached. Well, I would do it if Brother Branham was here. Let me tell you something, friends. Brother Branham's not here. God's here. And my God is no respecter of persons. I get so aggravated when I hear people say, well, Brother Branham would have been there, I'd have been there. They wouldn't done it. If they won't come hear him or me or Daniel or whoever, they won't go hear him. I wish I lived back in the day with Brother Branham. Why? You'd have laid out. Well, if I'd have been back there, I'd have traveled around the world. Why? We don't have to, people think you got to travel around the world. God's not around the world. He's right here. That egg is beginning to move and struggle. Then it'll crawl and pass its way over one here. Pass its way over nothing here. Why? There's something inside of it. It has to have more than intellectual faith. Intellectual faith will not bring a body change. Itself alone. Is intellectual faith good? Yeah, I'm not saying throw it down, do away with it. But I'm saying you need that. That's good. But don't stop with reading a quote. Don't stop with reading a quote of the scripture. Because if you do, the intellectual faith, my man said, you're proven you can read. I want more than a quote. I want more than God sent a prophet. I received that back yonder. That's good. I believe we got to still do that and preach that and teach that to some people. I understand that. But listen, friends, I know there's more to God than that. Oh, I hope this is all right. God help us. Notice the words that he spoke, Brother Terry. According to the time of life. Now, don't miss. According to the time of life. At a certain season, at a certain time, I'm going to visit you. Oh my, can you imagine God visiting Abraham that day? I hear the prophet say, he says, Sarah was fussy that day. Sarah was a little fussy that day because the wagon train went down by Lot's place and they got a new dress. And Sarah says, I want one too. Brother Bam says, Satan was trying to get her to miss her visitation. See, down at Lot's place, the atmosphere wasn't right. See, Lot had to depend on Abraham. God don't want me and you depend on the, hear me out before you throw a rock at me. Just listen. God wants us to depend on Him. But I know we depend on each other. I understand that. But what you gonna do if somebody else don't go? What you gonna do if Brother Terry never wants to jump and shout? If you're waiting on Brother Terry and Mother Terry never does it, you're in trouble.
Do it anyway.
Glory. If you're waiting on Brother Gene to do it and Gene don't feel like it, maybe he don't feel like it that night and he's sick or something, then you will never do it. See, the atmosphere's got to be right for you. So that intellectual faith as it's built there, that healing can come, the first pull can come, the second pull can come. But God says, I'm wanting to change your body. I didn't put you on this earth to come to Happy Valley, Life Tabernacle, or whoever the church it is. I didn't put you here just to come here 3 times a week. I want to change your body. I'm sending you there to change your body. He's preaching something that'll change your body. He's building your intellectual faith higher and higher and higher to where that won't do it. But it surpasses that, moves down into the soul and down into the heart. Then you say, when this man up here don't believe it and don't agree with it and says it can't happen, this man down here says it can happen. This man up here says the doctor says this, the doctor says that. This man down here says, but God says this. This man says, I can't have a baby, but God says you can. The man up here says, the doctor says that you got this or you got that or you got this. That's intellectual faith. But God says, where's that at now? That's not here. That's my brother. Said God chose the head. God, Satan chose the head for the control tower. God chose the heart for the control. Why? That's where God lives and rules from right here. Not up here. Because up here, I tell you to believe the doctor. Up here, we'll tell you you don't need this. Up here, we'll tell you to stay at home and listen to a tape. Up here, we'll tell you to listen to the internet. Up here, we'll tell you you don't need what he's saying tonight. Up here, we'll tell you this, this, and this, and that, and that. But this down here will say you need every bit of it. See what he's doing? It's building past this. Past the mind frame. Past our mentality. Past our ability. And moving into the realm of Almighty God. Oh, I want to get to something here. It must come to the right time, the right season. Sarah now had come to her season, her time, her appointment. She had to recognize Sister Janet, her day. I like what the Bible says in Romans 9:9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come. And Sarah shall have a son. See how Paul picks it up and brings it down to you and I? For this is the word of promise. Why? Because it was God that spoke it. At this time, this certain time, I'm going to come and she will have a son. God just didn't take her back till she was 18 years old. He took her back to where in the very thought process of his mind, where in the thought mind of God, she had already have a son. She had to have it back there with God before she could have it with Abraham. So if you're sick, if you have problems or troubles, whatever it is, it was back there in the thought process mind of God. It was already done back there. All you got to do is accept it. I love how Paul says that, for this is the word of promise. Boy, he didn't leave no room for no imagination. For this, he brought it down, the word this same mind. You ever pulled that word this up when Paul said the word in Ephesians talking about the mind of Christ? This mind. He said, this is the word. It's the same word where he says, it's the same mind. Oh, goodness. It had now come, brother, sister. It now had come to her time. Now notice this. In verse 16 it says, listen closely. Verse 16 it says, I think I'm right. No, I want to go to another scripture in 2 Kings. I'm sorry. Here's what I want. In verse 14, the very word it says, is anything too hard for God? A word, a speech, something uttered. And the very word hard, now notice this. Oh my. To be beyond one's power. To be beyond one's power. To be difficult. God likes difficult things. God likes hard things. He's always up to a challenge. Now watch it now. I love this. To be beyond one's power. To be difficult to do. To be difficult to understand. To be wonderful. Oh, I love this one. To be extraordinary. That's my God. But notice now, to be marvelous, to do extraordinary things. What a God. Amen. To show oneself his wonderfulness, his marvelous. Is anything too hard for God? I say no. Notice in 2 Kings, if you have a scripture just for a scripture reading, in 2 Kings chapter 4, you ain't got to turn there. I'll just read it if you want to, but it's 2 Kings 4. Now watch this. I love this in how Sarah began to respond, but notice how this woman here begins to respond to the words that he begins to speak. Now watch this woman here in 2 Kings 4, verse 9. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. So this man is continually passing by this place. He just didn't come by one time. Didn't come by another week or so. But he's continually coming by. Notice how... And she says unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. And it fell on the day that he came hither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all these care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Christ is the door. We run it right back to where Christ standing there. He's the door. He's the way to get in. So she stands in the anointed. She stands at Christ. She stands in the door. That's the words, right? And she stands, and notice this, and she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace. And notice this, she's now coming from no son to where she's now going to embrace something. What is she going to embrace? Just a child? No, she's actually going to embrace a faith. She's going to embrace a promise. Something within her. She's going to embrace this thing. She's going to pull it to her bosom. She's going to hold it dear to her. And about this season of the time, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had told her. According to the time of life. Now first, she had to recognize she was going to embrace. Sure, it was hard for her to believe. She said, Don't lie to me, man of God. You know I ain't got a son. You want to tell me this, man of God? Well, first of all, she already knows you're the holy man. Because he's been continuing to come and by her. So he ain't much of a stranger to her by now. She knows he's coming by all the time. But this one certain time, he stops. What do you want? You're going to have a son. Don't lie to me. That prophet of God stood there and said, according to the time of life. And then notice the words. Straight from Melchizedek now. Same spirit. If your pastor stood here and said, according to the time of life, thus and thus and thus, is not it the same spirit? Uh-oh. You'd believe it if Brother Branham did it. Then why can't we believe it when the pastor does it? Our true man of God. According to, at the season, brother, at the time, at the season, I'm going to come and visit you. Then I asked you, who's here? she reacted. When the servant called, she responded. And she stands in the door. I like where she stands. She's standing in the door when she receives her proclamation. When she receives, thou shalt embrace a son. She's standing in the anointed word. Elisha, the prophet of God. Under that ministry of Elijah, having a double portion of the word. She stands in the door, Christ be in the door. And receives the servant and believes what he says, even though she says, don't lie to me, it's man of God. Because her appointment now had come. Her season now had come. And she responds standing in the door. Oh, glory to God. She responds to the servant as he calls to her. And she responds standing in the door. When the opening was made, she walks in the entrance. To believe more than an intellectual faith. Oh, Brother Tim, now all she had was just a little intellectual faith. That's all we need today. Let me tell you, friends, it will not change your body. There's going to be a lot of people left on earth because all they got is intellectual faith. A lot of message folks will be still left right in this world. Still getting ready to come to church. Having intellectual faith, but never having a clear understanding of that godly faith that Brother Bam talked about. Right. Brother Bam said you can have all the intellectual faith you want. That's right. Season of life. Time of life. It's here now. She recognized her season. She recognized her time. According to the time of life. Maturity now had come to her in a sense. Even though this is under the Old Testament now. She has now come to a maturity to embrace a promise that the prophet of God had told her. How many upon this earth under the prophet of God's ministry that followed in the meetings, millions upon top of millions, that actually embraced it? But listen to me. You can actually embrace it now.
Yes, sir.
Quit looking for the rapture way down the road. Amen. It's here. Amen. It's not way off. No. The seals are open. What was it when he said he's standing there? Land and sea. And the Bible goes on and says, everything is silenced in heaven. Yeah. Chapter 8 goes into the first verse goes into the 30 minute silence. Because there's nothing there. He's not there. He's here. There's nothing there that they can worship. He's here. It's our time. It's our appointment. It's our season. It's our life. But Bam said, that's why he made the statement. Oh, I hope you look behind the seal and seen your name. He was going deeper than what the message people believe he was going. It wasn't just to see a Tim or Tony or Justin or this. That's not what he's talking about. But you're seeing a greater faith. The word there in verse 16 says appointed places, appointed time, a meeting time. God said, I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock. Y'all be there. So it's a, notice how it says, it's a sacred season. Goes on to say it's an appointed season for a feast. An assembling together. The word time means, I love this, the word time means continuing in the future. As Elisha says, according to the time. Now notice what he says. T-I-M-E. According to the time. Continuing future. Amen. She just said, who is this holy man who continually comes by here?
Right. Amen.
A continuing, a continuous existence. God's existence. Oh, I love this one too. The word time means also to pass on and advance to something greater. So this Shunammite woman, having no son, now's her time to go greater than what she had yesterday. You can have something greater than what you had at 12 o'clock today. You can have something greater than what you had Thursday and Friday. Because now the Shunammite woman says, and the prophet says, at the corner of the time of life, he will visit you at the corner of the time of life. So it's a continuous future. To pass and go beyond. To advance greater and greater and greater. Why would anybody not want to advance? You go to work for a company, your desire is, as far as the human desire, is to advance. You go to work for a company and they hire you for this, your desire is to advance to a greater position. Once you get that, you advance a little bit farther and advance, advance, advance till you own the company. I'm here to say that God's people has already advanced. Oh, hallelujah. They've already advanced. It's not hearsay. It's already a done deal. It actually says to pass on, advance, go beyond. If she went that far in having a child, how far are you and I going to go? To where our bodies will actually be changed and we'll advance from this into that. Bill Brown said, I see it. We'll go past the Milky Way. We'll go past the stars, past the moon, past the sun. Why? He's advancing. And he brought the bride. He brought the body of Christ under his advancement and moved them higher. Brother Branham didn't stay. Brother Branham didn't come up here and leave you and me down here. But he brought us and advanced us up. Elevated us. I love that. To go beyond. To advance. To pass further. This little woman had actually come to a place she had never been before in her life. Sarah had actually come to a place she had never been before. She'd never had a son. She didn't know what it was like to be pregnant. She didn't know what it was like to have a child. But now God had advanced her. Listen, children, God has advanced you with the preaching of the gospel that many people around the world does not have the privilege to have. He's advanced you to an understanding that you can understand that millions can't understand. But by God having true ministry, they are bringing the people up from where Brother Branham died. And advancing the people of God higher and higher and higher. And millions can't understand. Millions have no idea what it is. But you have the privilege. Amen! You have the privilege to understand God. Nobody can understand God, but you have a privilege to understand God. Woo, hallelujah. What's it done? It's advanced you. What has this message done? You just come out of denominationalism. What has it done? It's advanced you. When you didn't think you'd ever believe this message. I have a fellow in my church. Oh my goodness, he is so precious. 35 years in the Baptist church. Deacon. going out knocking on doors, getting pens every week. He come to my church under Daddy's ministry then and leave shaking his head. I don't know how they can preach that stuff. I'm going home, ain't never coming back. 6 months, he'd visit again. Now this is 25, 30 years ago when he married into the family. He'd go back to his Baptist church, go knock on doors next week and get another pen. 6 months later, he'd visit. I don't know how y'all can believe that nonsense and leave. Maybe come 5 times in his life. One night, I come around the bend of the corner of the church and I see his truck. First time he's ever been in one of my meetings. I says, I believe I know who that truck is, but I sure don't know what he's here for. I pull up and go in. We've always been friends. We worked together most of our life. I mean, just as friendly as me and him. Never had no minutes trouble, nothing. It was on a Sunday morning. You know, he sat there. Never said nothing. Sunday night, I pull back up. Brother Donnie, there's his truck again. I look at my wife, I say, something bad wrong. Definitely something's wrong. I walk in, he's there, and he shakes my hand. He just sits there. Very friendly, very nice. And what really struck it is when I pull up on Wednesday night and his truck's there. And I look at the wife, I say, the rapture's here. It's here. And now, on fire for God. Been with me now, I think, 7 years. His wife come 2 years. His wife and his little girl come 2 years without him. 2 years. And he's coming across double bridges up at the house, big lake, and the storm was coming. And his little girl says, Daddy, would you go to church with me? And he said, he started to say, now you know. He said, something told him, says, if this such and such thing happens, I'll go. And lo and behold, within 1 hour it happened. Within 1 hour, it happened. See, what was it? He could not come under the ministry of my dad. See, he was learning every time he'd hear a few things. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent this. God did this. But he couldn't understand it. What's God need a prophet for? What they believe that man for? Never would blast it. I don't understand it. I don't believe that stuff. But see, under that ministry couldn't come. But when he heard the ministry that's of today. Oh, hallelujah. At God's appointed time, God brought him and advanced him. He takes all of his pens and throws them away. See, that's what God does. 30 years, Brother Terry, for him to come. You met him when you was there. Sat on that side right there. 30 years. But to God, there's no time. Amen. To God, that's just a couple of minutes maybe. And God said, from this minute to 2 or 3 more minutes, he said, now it's time. Oh, my. Now, notice this. I'm fixing to close. I won't hold you long, I promise. The word life in verse 16, according to the time, notice it's continual through the future. Continuing through the future. How many of you ever heard? I went down to Florida years ago and I seen that ride they got called Back to the Future down there. Back to the Future. I ain't wanting to go back. But see, that's what people's mindset is. Back to the future. Back to the future. I don't want to go back down. I want to go up. Then notice this. Time continual. To advance, to go before, go beyond, to the word life. According to the time of life, actually it's to, listen now, to make known, or to reveal, to unveil, to unfold. But I like this, to breathe. God breathed the breath of life and Adam became a living soul. Wants it up, breathing life. According to the time of life, he stands up this Shunammite woman and breathes a sign into her. Watch him. Means again, alive, a living, active, springtime. Revival, renewal. From sickness, from discouragement, from faintness, from death, to be refreshed, to be quickened, to revive, to restore, to give life. According to the time of life. But now she begins, I'm closing, now she begins to nurture a life that's inside of her, of taking care of it. And then on down the road, we find the boy dies. And as the great song says, all is well. There she comes. Gehazi! Go up there and see what she needs. I ain't telling you nothing. I want to see the man of God. She goes down and he says, is all well? Notice her. The atmosphere she begins to bring now in this situation. Her son's died in the field. He's dead. But now she begins, as she's nurtured that life, she's now beginning to nurture a faith. And the prophet of God says, is everything all right? And she looks at the prophet of God and says, all is well. With her son laying dead. What did it take for her? That was a, she knew if God gave him, God could restore him. See, the word life means to give life, which he did, but also to restore or to revive or to become active again. So in order to be active again, he had to be active at another point in time. So if he restored her to be active again, if he was back there active, then he'd come back again to be active. So if you and I were active at one time, if we were active at one time in our life, then cannot we be active again in our life? If I was Pentecost one time, I think I got a little bit more Pentecost in me to be it again. I know message folks scared of that word. Can I read you a quote before I close? I'm skipping all this. Remember I said that seed will take a hole somewhere. And he screams out glory to God. The only thing he's looking for today is a bedding ground. Somewhere he can bed. It'll start in somebody, but they'll pervert it. They'll spray it down like Eve did. And it started in Eve for her to bed and bring forth the sons of God. Not sons of Satan, but she was a bedding ground. And it fell in the wrong place. So will the word fall in an unbeliever. A doubter, a skeptic. It'll make a church member out of them, but never make a son or daughter of God. You tell them to let their hair grow, they'll life in your face. You tell them to do this or that, or a man to do this or that, they'll life. They're not sons of God. It's the wrong bedding ground. But yet they're holding the seed, see? They're false anointed ones. They're anointed with the Holy Ghost. So how can they be anointed? Because of intellectual faith. It can never come up here. If it's not germatized, it ain't going to work. How many quotes you quote them? God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. You can quote it a million times. Put it on billboards. Put it anywhere you want to. It ain't going to work. But if the seed's in there, and one word falls in the bedding ground. He said, yet they're holding the seed. See, they're false. They're anointed ones, yes. They hold the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues. They do signs and wonders. But they're of Satan. He said he considered not his own body to be dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's wombs. It wasn't even brought under consideration. You mean he didn't even consider that Sarah ain't never had a kid? Hebrews 11 says, didn't even consider it. But what about? There ain't no buts about it. He did not even consider the deadness of her womb. Oh my, that Brother Branham said, oh, that just shakes me. Oh, old body dead. Now the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not even brought under consideration. Oh, God. What if we come through these doors tonight and didn't even have no doubt? I'm not even going to consider if God can do it or not. I know He can do it. I'm not going to consider and see, well, God, I hope you do what you word said. You know, I hope He'd say the right thing. Don't consider that. Just believe it. He said, no circumstances will be considered when faith finds its bed and ground. Oh, Donnie, that's powerful. No circumstances will be considered when faith finds its bed and ground. When a germ gene from a man finds the egg in the woman and both of them fertile. See, that's that when I preached that last year on that life I preached on. What was it? I can't remember what I called it, but it was on the gene of God. Oh my goodness. See, that's what Brother Brown's getting to. He says, notice when it finds it there and both fertile, he said, something's going to happen. Right. Not it might, not I hope so, but it's going to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is already here. Why, if I could believe it. He said, hallelujah, the doctor's going to say you'll not have the baby. I can prove that your genes are dead in your body. Her eggs will never be fertile. But let that fertile egg, let that germ twist itself and that egg find one time. He said, watch what happens. That little boy or that little girl comes on the scene. And I'm proud to say both of my daughter-in-laws has got one apiece coming. That's exactly right. I'm going to be Papa two more times. I had to throw that in there somewhere. Let that fertile egg, let that germ twist itself to that egg. It'll find itself. Watch what happens. That little boy, that little girl, there she comes. Why? Faith found the bed and ground. Then the works go to work. Sail on top of a sail. Here comes the little fellow. Amen. God have mercy on us. Oh God, to be rugged Christians, we should be. He said, if we were men and women, we could take God at His word. And you can do it. It's revealed to you. It's greater than the national faith. It's greater than what I can say. I have no words. I have no message but this. I have no words but this. Don't want no words but this. I done seen this bring too much life that I can't do. But this, I like what the word says, Joel says, and Peter and him went to deputy calls, this is that. Boy, that's power there. Joel said on the dirt, he said, then when they'll come again, Joel 2:23, 24, and 25. And Peter stood up there and said, this is that. What was it? This word, that word, this, T-I-H-S in the English language, this, the same. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then I can say, this is that William Branham said. This is that he prophesied about. This is that when that revival comes. Listen, friends, I'm closing. The church will never have a revival, but the revival is in the individual now. But if you can get the individuals to have a revival, then this single church can have a revival. Then it'll take one in my church to bring my church to a revival. Why? It's inside the individual now. Brother Brown said, she ain't had it yet. Let me tell you, I believe we're already here now. See, people take that word, yet. And they're, you know what they're doing? They're still looking for it to happen. Brother Brown said, we ain't had it yet, but glory to God, we're going to get it one of these days. And they'll never get it. Because yet, it's already here. He said, she hadn't had a revival yet. Meaning she's going to have one. But he said, the church wouldn't have it. It's up to the individual. That's why I said, you can't wait on Brother Terry. Brother Terry might not want to have a revival. I know you do. I know you do. I told one time I was doing a drama. I like to dramatize mine out, you know, when I wore that shawl here. Did you ever see that? Somebody from here texted me and said, you look like Little Red Riding Hood. So I enjoy dramatizing. I like to do that. I told someone time, I said, come up here, we're going to portray something. And I said, you be the devil and I'll be God. He said, I ain't being the devil. So I don't ask nobody to be the devil no more. I'm trying with all my part for 13 years to get you to be God. I sure ain't going to say be the devil. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Let me read this a little. He said, oh, here's the stinger. He said, if your intellectuals does tell you, oh, your intellectual tells you that this is true, that this isn't the truth. God's not a heater. God ain't this. He said, your mind could witness to that. He said, but if there's not a bedding ground in your heart for to express in, you'll believe that. But if there's something there to believe it. Jesus said it don't take but that much. It don't take a dump load. Just start with that. And start building. I remember one thing. I remember a lot of things that Brother Mike Price said. But years ago, before he moved away out in Arkansas, in no man's land. I went out there, man. Whew, that's rough. I love you, buddy. But he used to preach for me a lot. And he constantly told my church, he said, if you gain 1/4 inch, you beat the devil. So don't take a bunch. That little bit. And then you get that little bit next. What are you doing? You're advancing. What's all these great wars done? They advanced. Got greater tanks. Greater missiles. They advanced. Brother Brown said, as they advancing, as the technology advancing, he said, so is the bride. Listen, church, it's impossible for the world to advance and not God. So if technology is advancing, you and I are advancing. We're going past everything the devil said we wouldn't do. Give him a hand clap of praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All of us stand together. How many loves him?
Amen.
How many is happy?
Amen.
Give him another hand clap of praise. Advance. Push the enemy out of the way. If he don't want to go, kick him. If he still don't want to move, hit him. Whatever you can do to advance, advance. The Shunammite woman advanced. Sarah advanced. We could go through hundreds of characters. What did they do? Advance at the appointed time. And I'm here, Happy Vanity, to say that our time is here. The appointed time, the appointed season of life. Have you ever seen a day when there wasn't, when there was a life like this? Man, all that God was, He's poured into us now. He's just waiting to take us home. And while I'm here, I want to worship Him, praise Him, shout, scream, holler, thumbs, whatever God wants me to do, I want to do it. Can you say amen? Is that what you want? Give me G, brother. Let me sing this just before we go. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. Oh, I love that. You are worthy to be praised. Listen, so to you my hands are raised. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, sing it now. Let's tell Him. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Hallelujah. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy.
our hands we'll raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Now let's sing it where the angels of God will hear us. And God looks over the banisters of time and says, that's my children. The angels cannot sing this. The angels stand there and wonder, how, my, what would be nice to sing like that? You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Let's tell him how awesome he is, friends. Just believe for anything you need. You are awesome in this place. I'm a father with all your heart, little bride. You are worthy of our praise. Oh, to you, Lord, my hands I'll raise. Oh, hallelujah. You are awesome. Would you sing it one more time with all your heart? I believe God likes that. I believe God loves that. Tell him one more time with all your heart. You are awesome. Sing it, little bride. Mighty God. Yes, you are, Lord. Let your faith be built, church. God's come to take his bride. Don't let the devil tell you nothing else. Sing it once more before I turn it over to Brother Donnie. You are awesome. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, church, advance now. Let us advance on. Let us be elevated up to greater heights in God. Not what we want, but what God desires within us. Let us be elevated to what He desires. You're worthy of our
You are awesome in this place.
God bless you, saints. God bless you. Donnie, would you come?
What a mighty God, Jesus is.
Let's sing it together now.
Oh, what a mighty God that Jesus is. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God, Jesus.
Come on, somebody help me sing it now.
Hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty God, Jesus is. Pride bows before Him. Oh, what a mighty God. I wish somebody would help me sing it. Oh, Jesus. What a mighty God. My Jesus is.
God, what's too hard for Him tonight, children? What are you going through that's too big for your Father to take care of? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Oh, what a mighty God.
Appreciate His word tonight. Remember that voice that asked Sarah and Abraham that day,
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know who that was asking that, don't you? The Lord. It was the Lord asking them their opinion of the Lord. So I'm going to ask you tonight, what's your opinion of the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Any disease you've got that's too deadly? Any financial problems that you got that's too big? Any situation you got in your life that's too hard for the Lord? Well, just tell Him, no, Lord. Nothing's bigger than You. No problems I've got. No heartaches I've got. Nothing's too hard for my God. Glory. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless Your name, Lord Jesus. But Brother Donnie, I prayed and I've waited, but remember He has a season. He's an on-time God. He don't come on your time. He don't come on my time or mama's time. He works on His time. Oh, glory to God. I said He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. Oh, glory. Let's sing it together. Hey? Hallelujah. Oh, you appreciate Him tonight. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Let me tell you something, friend. That scripture, my, it's not just going to be so with the Shunammite and so with Sarah. But God's going to visit you at the time of life. Amen. And you also will produce a son. Glory to God. You also will produce a son. Hallelujah. Well, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. Yes, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. You hear that, devil? Oh, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. But He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Not when I was 25. Not when I was 55. Not when I was 65. But when I was an old man, He showed up right on time. He did not come when I thought He should. The rapture coming. 1977, 1987, 1997, 2007. Don't know. This year, don't know. This week, don't know. But I know this. May not come when I want Him to, but He'll be. You're going to have doctors and dentists and all those folks are today. You got an appointment next week. They got somebody there that calls you. We'd like to remind you, Joe Harry, you've got an appointment next week. They don't want to miss your money. So let me speak for him tonight if I can and let you know we got an appointment here in the morning at 11 o'clock. Don't be late and don't stay home. Who are we going to meet? Donnie Ray and now we're going to meet God. We're going to meet God. Amen. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Well, He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an all-time God. Yes, he is. See you in the morning, Lord. Come when you want it. We'll be talking about the rest.
Yes, he is. I know he is. He's an all-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. Oh, he's an all-time God. Yes, he is. See you.